Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mast. We are so grateful you are here, that you're showing up, that you are listening in, that you're participating in consciousness and evolution and in liberation. It's not easy work. And we are so deeply grateful and humbled to be able to do that work right alongside with you. Susan and I offer a podcast twice a week, where you can get information about the current astrologies, practices that come up, tarot cards that come through, images, and practices that help keep us on our journey within consciousness. If that feels useful, know that there's an additional platform that is also available to you. That's betheevidence.live. And in that platform, we offer weekly live calls where you can join in to reflect on what the energies were and what they will be as the planets move and we're dealing with new astrological changes. You also receive real-time text message notifications of when things are shifting into place and ways to support yourself. And speaking of support, we also have guided meditations and presence practices that can involve food and movement and breathing techniques and focus points. There's also additional services and interactions that we are constantly unfolding. New content is always uploading. If you're interested in all this, stay tuned to after the podcast where you can find out more information about becoming a member and betheevidence.live. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast. We'll see you soon.
Oh man, possibilities. We were just chatting about going into Mercury and Jupiter and the Sun finally hitting into Sagittarius finally.
Yeah, so we're recording this on, what day is it, Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Yes, it's Wednesday. Yep. It'll go up on Thursday, but as we're recording this, we're about 4 hours out from Mercury shifting from Scorpio to Sagittarius, which means it's sitting on the 29th degree, which is the testing degree. And it's like, something dark is talking to through your mind. It's like, completely. Could you please back off? I've got shit to do. Okay.
Yep.
Don't have time for this.
No, but it's like the, I don't even know what that image is. I keep getting that image of like a building where it's like the ivy starting to creep around it, or the shadow starting to creep around it, and it's like slowly coming up around.
Something wicked this way comes.
Exactly. I'm like, but there's gonna be a new day. I swear, I know it.
I swear it is. I swear. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting because the moon is in Aquarius as we record this, and it'll be in Pisces when it goes up. Moon in Aquarius at the moment is trying to say, do not attach yourself to all those shadows, please. Come on.
Right.
Let's be real. You don't need to hold it tight and roll around in it. Just pull back a little bit. Everything's right. Probably going to be fine. Okay. Usually is eventually, right. One way or another. Just keep solving the problem and keep moving forward, and don't just fall into the emos brigade.
Right.
And when it goes back into Pisces, we'll be back in water again. And it'll be like, oh shit, here we go again. It's going to start trining into Venus and Scorpio. So it's just like up and down and up and down and up and down.
Mm-hmm. It's a real rickety ride right now, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think frustrating because Mars is in Pisces around Neptune. Like the ego doesn't know what the hell to do. I don't know what to do. And meanwhile, spirit's going, you don't need to know everything.
Which then the ego goes, no, but I do. You don't understand this.
In fact, I do.
Mm-hmm. And then I wonder too, if like spirit gets a little giggle out of us of like, oh, you silly, sweet humans. You think you need to know it all, but no, you're supposed to be trusting right now.
Have you seen those wind up toys where you wind them up and let them go and they go and they spin around on the floor?
Yeah. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, calm down. Don't wind it up again. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's, at least for me, and probably it's not just me, it's reaching for things like Sagittarius and Capricorn. So mm-hmm. Saturn and Pluto are in Capricorn. We are putting down foundation structures, even if it's just the scaffolding of a structure, of what we want to stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. Reaching for the long haul and not quitting. Keep building. One foot in front of the other. Don't you lay down on the side of the road. Let's go. Keep going. Don't stop. And then Sagittarius is trying to say possibilities beyond what your worry is telling you right now. And reaching for that would be opening up to it and letting inspiration pull you forward rather than going, all I know is what I see right in front of me. Not, are you sure? You sure? You sure it can't be something more creative, something that's trying to take shape, something that's trying to come in, something that's being delivered to you, and all you need to do is open up and allow it.
Yeah. I keep that image of standing on, like, it's, it feels like New Mexico, but it could not be, like a very like nomadic feeling, right? Where you're standing on desert plains and looking out over a vast land, and there's nothing there, right, except for some mountains, and then just knowing that you're like, you're stable, and like whatever you can envision in front of you can be created, but that there's also just like this aridness, right, like that the sand is moving around you, that like there's nothing that feels extremely tangible for you to be like, okay, and here's a brick, this is how I start building it. Like, it's just like that space of like holding the image and scenery that you can't see how it's going to fit.
And then over the horizon, you see wild horses coming in.
Right.
Or you see a caravan that has supplies to set up a new community. Or you feel, or you see the train coming in and it's got art supplies and water.
Mm-hmm.
Something is coming up over the horizon. If you'll just be still and open up. There's a town called Marfa in Texas. It's in West Texas. Mm-hmm. It's in the desert. And the sky is really beautiful out there. I mean, it's a beautiful shade of blue. And the clouds look like you could reach out and touch them.
Mm.
And there's no city around. There's no noise pollution or architectural pollution. It's just real quiet. And at night, I mean, it's really small, okay?
Right.
At night, people all hook up at the saloon where, like, you know, a Western band is playing or whatever. And out back, they've got a fire pit and people sit around and talk about ideas mm-hmm. and what they hope for and what they're creating. And in the distance, you can hear a train. When I was there, I asked the owner, I was sitting with the owner of the saloon kind of place. And I said, does that bother you that in this quiet, the sound of a train comes through? He said, oh no, it's the opposite. I hear something on approach. Mm. I hear hope. It's a beautiful sound, the sound of that train. I reach for that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sit within inspiration. Sit with the fire and go, what are we gonna do now? I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I see something on approach. You ready? And we go, yeah, totally ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's like the only thing that we can do right now. It feels like, I mean, of course we have that, you know, you and I have an interesting perspective in the sense that we are sitting talking during the, like, the final degrees of being in Scorpio right before we move into Sagittarius, and being like that push, right, like that grinding almost, and then knowing that, like, we could just get flooded out within the motions of it. Like, the train thing is really coming up for me, because when I was a little girl, I would stay at my grandparents' house. It was like a cobblestone street, right? A very quiet cobblestone street. But I would wake up terrified in the middle of the night. And the only thing that would ever bring me comfort was listening to the train go through the middle of the night and allowing my brain to be like, I wonder if there's people on that train. Are they going somewhere? Are they bringing something to the city? Like, I don't know, you know, like. And I love that image, because there's a lot of hope that can reside in that, but also, like, well, what's the potential? What's the possibility? Is that train covered in graffiti that somebody has marked up because that's like their artistic vision? Or is it taking grain to feed cattle, right? Like allowing ourselves to wander in that type of mental capacity rather than be afloat with all of that like Piscean emotions.
It's also being on a train. Have you ever been on a passenger train?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it in Europe. I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. Going across Europe, and you cross through different countries, and you can see on the land on either side of the railroad how people hang their laundry, or how they're growing flowers, or where there's windmills, and you can feel yourself moving through life in a very suspended kind of way. You're not paying bills. You're not punching the clock. You're not worried about your insurance. You're moving through life. Mm-hmm. One of the most peaceful things I've ever experienced. And maybe that's Sagittarian of just get on the train. Mm-hmm. Get on the train. Go see what happens. Being a citizen of the world, being part of the flow of the unfolding.
Yeah, I think there's something to really say there about being part of the flow of the unfolding. And like, obviously, like, I don't think either of us are saying stop paying your bills.
No.
Don't do this sort of stuff. Like, I think it's more of like, when we're in these types of challenging, like up and down, really rickety road, back and forth in emotions, back and forth into like feeling like you're under the gun in a lot of ways. Maybe the teaching is to just cross stuff off your list, to pay the bills first thing in the morning, and then see like, how can I be part of the unfolding throughout the day? How can I just choose presence? Can I just walk outside in the middle of my workday and take deep breaths and just watch people walk around? Like, how are they moving, right? Like, what are the words that I'm hearing pop through in the radio when I'm absentmindedly driving? Or what is the images? Like, we were driving this afternoon, and my son was like, did you notice how much stuff is green? It seems like everything's green today, Mama. Like, there's green signs everywhere and all of these things. And I was like, well, what does that mean to you? And he was like, well, I think green's a color of the heart. And like, allowing yourself to be in that space of like, oh, there could be signs all around me if I would just step back and get out of this, like, and now I have to do this, and in 10 minutes I have to be there, and then this bill has to be paid, and I have to talk to this person. But like, what are the actual signs that are being delivered to us? I think it can create this really beautiful co-partnership with spirit, that we're allowing ourselves to be interactive with the unfolding, with that Sagittarius energy of like, there is possibility, but we have to sort of get out of our own way in order to start seeing where the patterns are taking place.
Right. So Saturn in Capricorn on its way to Pluto over the next year. Okay. Saturn in Capricorn is about responsibility. Right. It's about establishing a different foundation. Again, it's about standing the things that are going to stand the test of time. It's having you be grounded into being here in a stable kind of way. That's sextiling into Neptune and Pisces, which, I don't know, some people are describing this as a downer. Mm-hmm. But the way that I see it is have transcendence inform what you're going to contribute to that will last, right? Like, have inspiration inform how you're going to build your structure. It's taking care of the responsibilities in your life because you want to open up more to the rest of your day in possibility and transcendence. It's that spirit or transcendence or inspiration is found in the mundanity of life too.
It's always that paradox, right? It's always the yin and the yang, the light and the shadow, the white and the black. Like, that there's always a teaching on both sides of it, the male and the feminine. Like, there's always a teaching. Acidic and alkaline, for no matter what we are doing, there's a teaching to be held in both sides of the paradox. And so I think we're constantly having to decipher, am I supposed to be more in the yin right now? Am I supposed to be more acidic? Am I supposed to be more masculine? Am I supposed to be more feminine? Am I in my light, in my shadow, right? Of like, how do you walk that line and stay very tethered to the experience and aware of how it feels on either side, or what are the emotions that come up on either side, or how are your thoughts on either side?
And then I think that the question would be, what are you trying to escape from?
Right.
What are you running from? What are you denying? What are you saying? Oh no, I can't live here. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can live in the world where you have to pay your mortgage. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. How do I live in the world of, I've got to buy insurance? How do you live in the world of, you know, I got to fix the leaky sink? How do you live in the world of, I got to get my kid to school on time or the school district is going to get real mad at me? Mm-hmm. how do you live in that world without trying to escape it? And I think it's because life happens there too. Life happens in responsibility and groundedness. Now, some structures that we're living under are oppressive, and we need to be willing to come up with new rules that we live by that work more for the evolution of how we're growing in awareness and consciousness and progressing into liberating ourselves from things that are oppressive or suppressive, sure. But we also have responsibility. And that responsibility, that groundedness feeds life too. It's not something that's trying to snuff us out. It's making us be here, all the way here.
Yeah, it's real interesting to me, I think. Like, it, the more you sit in, I guess, spiritually minded, conscious community, right? Like, there's this constant conversation as of, I feel like, the last several years, probably since 2012. You will probably be able to confirm this for me, where there's been an ongoing conversation of, like, the 3D reality, this reality where we're currently living in, if I have to pay my bills, that sort of thing, right, is one level of consciousness. And then we're moving towards this 5D reality, right? Where we're like more in the spiritual, we're more conscious, we are more evolved, we're awakened, we are woke, if you want to use that word. We have ascended in a lot of ways, right? And I think the conversation to me is really interesting because it's missed this mark of how we still have to straddle both. It's not like one day we wake up and we're 5D reality and we never have to pay a bill or go to work again or be in a partnership where like we don't feel like fed. It's not like there's this instant switch that happens. We still have to straddle both because both are equally important. It's just like the same thing with being, I don't know, very air-based, where you can leave your body easily and go up into the like Aquarian energy of like, okay, I'm going to think about, I don't know, other planets of existence, other universes of existence, other species of existence. And then how equally like it's important to be grounded in your body and be very much present with, oh, when I ran into that door, that hurt and I felt it here as an emotional reaction. There's a place for both of them that I really needed.
Right. So that transition from 3D to 5D, as some people have been calling it, or into awareness or transcendence or consciousness, I think it's important to recognize that it's not us having to escape to somewhere. It's the entire planet that's going into consciousness. That 2012 was right. The end of the Mayan calendars, the December 21st, 2012 marker, where our entire solar system is going back into consciousness. We don't need to leave the planet to ascend. The whole planet is going up. So if we're living under systems that are oppressive, then we need to evolve the systems. It's not that we need to run away from them and no longer contribute or pay attention or act like they're not there.
Right.
Everything evolves. Everything.
Yes. Yeah. I really enjoy that conversation because I feel like that's one of those conversations that doesn't get brought up a whole lot, where it's like, oh, I'm going to stop being part of this reality. And now I'm going to go forward and be part of another reality that's really highly awakened. Well, that's not how this is all working. Like, we're all equally spiraling upwards. Like, and I think it does a real disservice to believe that you don't have to be a participant in this reality. Like, I mean, I get it, right? There's definitely times where I'm like, man, incarnating as a human was a dumb fucking decision. Like, I should not have done it. Like, there's definite times where
I should have been a panel that needed to approve right. My wisdom and foresight.
Right. And I should have had to submit a 1,000-page essay to make sure I actually knew why I wanted to do this,
Right.
It obviously did not happen. I decided to do this for another reason.
Why there's no panel?
You know, but I think it's really, it's hard, right? It's hard being in the, it's hard doing the day-to-day stuff of like, okay, I have to pay bills. I have to pick up my kid. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's also equally hard knowing that like you're evolving, you are coming into consciousness, that you are ascending, that you're breaking down old patterns that are based in suffering, and you have to find tenderness with yourself in both of those realms.
Right. It's consciousness informing how we are here on planet Earth. If you feel like your body is hurting from toxins, we need to start making some decisions about how we're going to change the way we live here.
Right.
If you feel like the tax code is severely oppressive, we need to change that shit.
Right.
I mean, how you feel in your consciousness or more and more opening up to your awakeness informs the actual structure, hardcore way that we are present on planet Earth.
Yes.
There's a reason why they're talking about people having like a basic common income. Mm-hmm. It's because if you decide that you're going to leave your job because it's killing you, it shouldn't mean that you're now homeless.
Right.
All lives have dignity. It's because people are looking around going, "What? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense to us anymore." Okay, then change it.
So true. And equally, like what comes up for me too is that there's a greater understanding of consciousness, right? That we're equally understanding that there's systems in place that do not work. So we are responsible for changing it. And we're also understanding that there's a level of consciousness that exists within cell structures, within plants, within our interactions with one another, right? Like there's conscious vibrations that are shifting our understanding of the world. And so if we are saying, hey, that tax code doesn't work for me, I'm going to change it. All right, well then vibrationally or like, consciously, what can we change around it that matches the energy that we want to move towards?
So that would mean currently, because the planets are shifting all the time, currently right. That means opening up to how we literally have unlimited possibilities.
Yes.
Literally. There are things that exist in the world today that if you went back to 1920, and said, guess what it's like in 2020? They would be like, well, right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right.
Unlimited possibilities. If you went back to 1920 and tried to describe the technology we have today, they would think that you're out of your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And just like now, when we're starting to get hints of what's to come, you know, especially people who are used to it not being that way, we're like, come on. I'm not signing on for that. It's not natural. No.
You and I have had that conversation so many times. Be like, I'm not into it. I'm not doing it.
No. Bionic arm. I'm not putting that on my body. Meanwhile, our grandkids are like, look, put the arm on.
Put it on. Shut up.
It's going to take over my body. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Love it. Yeah, reaching for the possibilities and the hope and the positivity and trusting that it's all going to be delivered even when we don't see it.
Don't you want to live there? Don't you want to live in, you know what, I could crawl under the bed right now, but I still have an adventure spark in me. So fuck it. Let's see what happens. Don't you want to still be there to go, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to find out. I want to keep that alive within myself, don't you?
Yes, because I think it can be washed out so easily. Like I was talking about war last night, and I was like, I got really upset, like really sad about how, one, we can just interact with other people, right? Like, and how we can cause harm. And two, I was like, what really saddened me was like, I don't want to give up hope. I don't want to give up possibility that we can all evolve. The option of that not being truth makes my spirit feel like, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to breathe again, right? Like it doesn't feel like there's any other option in front of me to be like, well, I have this last match and I'm sure shit going to strike it because maybe this is the one that takes off and it's full of possibility because I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've gone through the suffering. So you know what? If my final match goes out, then It was worth it.
What if this final one is the one?
Right.
I'm with you. And seriously, that's humanity.
Yep.
The galactic center is Sagittarian. The galactic center for human, for in astrology, is the eye of God. The vision right. that God has for humanity is Sagittarian. Hope is always alive, down to the last match. Mm-hmm. Down to the last match. And you know, the whenever you hear people going, well, we're probably all screwed, we're going down, humanity's gonna ruin Earth, I feel a physical repulsion going, mm-hmm. nope, not today.
Yep.
Not today. Not while I'm here. Uh-uh. I don't because I'm a double Scorpio. Sometimes I think about, you know, nuclear holocaust or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to be that one person crawling out from the rubble going, I'm still here, bitches. I ain't quitting. Nope. I'm going to be that human cockroach. Cannot get
rid of it. I love it. I love it. As soon as you started talking, I was like, she's going to go to the cockroach. I can see it.
Yep.
So good.
Our hope is that the information, the content, the awarenesses through the podcast help support you on your journey as you are becoming more and more evident and aware and reclaiming of your own liberation. It's not easy work for any of us. And Susan and I understand that very dearly. And in response to that, we created BeTheEvidence.live. It is a community-based platform where there is community and interaction. It's a safe space to explore your evolution into evidence of liberation. There's text message notifications that will support you with presence practices as energies change, things to pay attention to that you may encounter with the shifts in astrology. There are recipes that you can utilize in your kitchen to help support cleaning your body up and becoming more of the well and infinite and vital being that you truly be. There's also presence practices that are written words of meditation or things to help keep us on our path for the day. There's also guided meditations that you can listen to when you feel stuck, when you feel like you need to come and drop back into being grounded and being in your body. We host live weekly calls as well, where we're either going over the current energies of the week that we've just come through and what to expect in the next week, or we're looking at the astrological chart for the coming month. Beyond that, we are also offering tarot readings within the site, and there is sun sign astrology readings going on within the podcast that are extended for all of our members. If that sounds like it could be of support for you, know that we have created a very sacred vacuum that is there to help guide us all in becoming the evidence. Know that you're always welcome to join us, and we will gladly receive you at any point in time. That's at BeTheEvidence.live. You can additionally find us on Instagram and on Facebook. We also have a Patreon page, where it's Be the Evidence Podcast Patreon. And that's a good way to just support the podcast. Susan and I love doing it, and we have intentions of rolling out podcasts more frequently than we currently do. And beyond that, we would just love to hear from you no matter what. You can contact us at BeTheEvidencePodcast@gmail.com and let us know how things resonate with you, how they're playing out in your world, how you're showing up for yourself. We're so grateful that you're willing to do so. It makes it so much easier for the rest of us.